weeks, we've talked about prayer, our communication with God, the benefits and conditions of prayer. So today we're going to continue as we talk about the who's, what's, why's, how's of prayer. I'd like to lead you through a few scripture that will either remind you or help you to learn something new about prayer. First, let's look what Paul has to say in Romans 10:1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. So, who was Paul praying for here? He was praying for unbelievers because he says he's praying for them to be saved. What did Paul's desire for those who didn't, what was his desire for those who didn't know Christ? He wanted them to come to know him. He was praying for their salvation. And it was for all the people who were unbelievers. Another set of scriptures is in 1 Timothy 2:1-4, and it helps us to know who to pray for. And it says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So who does this scripture tell us to pray for? All people, even people in higher positions, because they have a lot of influence, and their influence can be good or it can be bad. Let's pray for all people, our leaders, our friends, our family, all the people that we come in contact with. So we're to pray for all people, and we're to pray for their salvation. Okay, now let's look at the what's that God desires us to pray for. In Matthew 9:37-38, it says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. What does the Lord desire us to pray for according to Matthew? God would send workers for the harvest. Who are the workers? Workers are people who know Jesus and desire to be his hands and feet and voice. And what is the harvest here? What does it mean when it says the harvest? It's the people in this world that need Jesus. Do you feel that it's important to be a worker for God? Absolutely it is. Even though works don't save us, but works are evidence of our salvation. If we are a follower of Jesus, we want to be like him. And we know that Jesus did not sit idle. He was a teacher, a preacher, and we should be about his business. And why is it important for us to be workers for God? So that people will be reached. Unless we are workers and we go and tell, people will not know Jesus. They won't come to know him unless people who already have a relationship with Jesus are willing to share what God has done for them in their lives. How do you usually react when someone wrongs you? Do you get angry? Do you think of revenge? Do you make excuses for them and sweep it under the rug? Do you forgive but not forget? Do you pray for them? Let's see what Luke says in chapter 6:28. It says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. So according to this scripture, how should we react when someone goes against us or hurts us? We should pray for them. We should start by praying for them. And through that prayer, you'll be really surprised how God will soften your heart towards them, that you will be able to forgive them, and move on from there, and possibly and hopefully that the two of you would be able to reconcile and come to an agreement about whatever it is that you disagree on, or the way that they've hurt you or you've hurt them. Using Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3:14-21, we can learn how to pray for others and ourselves. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So it's very important that we pray for others. It's important that we pray for ourselves, that we will let God speak to us, to our innermost parts. As we've gone over this, let's just refresh our memories for a minute on what we can pray for other people. We can pray that they will be strengthened by the Holy Spirit, that they will allow Christ to dwell in their hearts by faith, and they will be rooted and grounded in love. We can pray that they will know the love of Christ, and that they will be filled with all the knowledge of God. And we can pray that God gets glory through all generations, forever and ever. Just to think about that, that God will be glorified forever and ever through people, is a special thought for us to have. As we end this session, I just want you to know that I have prayed for each person that's listening today. I prayed that all the things that we've talked about will help you to pay it forward. Pay that prayer forward for your family, your friends, your acquaintances, even enemies, that God get the glory forever and ever. I hope you have a great week, and I pray that God will bless you always and in